going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and WHUT-TV. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. This is what we are looking at tonight. A Prince George's County police officer suspended after a viral video showed him involved in questionable activity while on duty. The deadly gun violence in D.C. continues unceasingly. The giant food store in Ward 8 continues to fight a wave of shoplifting. Bosses want remote workers to return to the office. Good luck with that. And Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes beat Texas Christian University. We're going to talk about that, too. And by the way, would you swim in the Anacostia River? Well, your chance is coming up. My guests are Misha Green, managing editor for the Washington Informer newspaper, and Keith Alexander, Pulitzer Prize-winning and D.C. crime and courts reporter for the Washington Post. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Of course, you can X me at H Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Misha, Keith, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having us again.
Yeah. Absolutely. So let us first start with Acting Sergeant Francesco Marlette. Now, this information just coming in, Prince George's County Police are now having an active Internal Affairs Division investigation. That being announced just a few minutes ago. This initially started out as perhaps thoughts about a police officer doing something that was, I don't know, spending time with a woman in the backseat of his cruiser, and that has happened. But now there are other things that have come up on social media. A woman claiming to be his wife says that that woman is actually his mistress. A woman on social media claiming to be the mistress is accusing the wife of infidelity. Marlette has been suspended, not the first time. So many issues, Misha, right now. It's just so much going on.
I mean, it is a mess. And there's a part of me that has my popcorn out just watching the whole thing unfold. But as someone who really has been following how the police department, local police departments, I should say, deal with the community, interact with the community for quite some time, this is not a good look by any means. I mean, certainly we know that there's a lot of mistrust when it comes to local police departments. But then you add on that he clearly was doing something he didn't have any business doing. And, you know, I've seen a lot of the comments where folks are saying, well, he was minding his business, but not while on duty.
Exactly.
Not in the police cruiser. In the same way that I wouldn't want to see a religious leader, no matter if it's not my religious leader, in collar or in their garb going in the back, or any political leader for that matter, while they're supposed to be on serving in some professional duty, doing something that is definitely reserved, at least culturally speaking, for private quarters.
Well, I mean, and the reality
and
is
in front of, and not in front of children. That
yes.
was a park.
Yeah,
Austin Hill Park in the middle of the day, and you see children in the background. So that also would really raise this concern. And you know, yes, in the uniform, they're hugging, they're embracing, and then they go into the back seat. And later, according to the person who took the video, you saw the car moving.
Yeah.
Rocking back and forth.
Right. So as a matter of fact, Keith, we have that from the person who took the video, Nelson Ochoa. This is what he had to say yesterday.
We couldn't believe what we were seeing. And then what really made us go like, wow, like this is crazy is when, like I said, when the car started walking a little bit to the left and right, that's when we were like, wow, this is crazy. And broad daylight with kids around. He was in the car for about 35 to 40 minutes.
Keith, should he be worried about backlash from the police?
I was concerned about his name being out there. Because on the surface, one would say, no, he did the right thing. But if he lives in Prince George's County and his family, I'm concerned about what that could possibly mean. He is a witness to something. And I was concerned. I'm like, why are we putting the witnesses' names out there? Even if he said, I don't care, I'm okay with that. I was concerned about, I'll be honest, about the media, including the Washington Post and other media outlets, putting this man's name out there. I was.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week, not just this one. Have plenty to get to. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I think...
Carol, can I interject one?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Before you say something. People seem to forget that, and I've learned this covering crime and covering police officers for the past 10, 15 years. Police officers are people, and people seem to forget that, right? These are individuals, men and women, who put on a uniform. Underneath that uniform, they are who they are, and that's good, bad, or indifferent. They are still people, and they bring their person to their job every day. So whoever they are outside of the uniform is who they won't be with the uniform. And I just want to make sure people know that.
Okay, so I get that. But I think the other side of that is whether you are a public servant, Misha, or just a working Joe or Jane, if the video is accurate, you are not on the job getting it in. You could lose your job.
Absolutely. It does not matter what you're doing. That is not something that you should be doing while working. It, like you said, you can be a crossing guard. If you have that crossing guard uniform on and you should be in the middle of the street doing
protecting
your duty,
children.
Protecting children, yeah. There's a problem. Yes, it was Labor Day. And, you know, obviously his partner had a moment to go on and do her own thing, or maybe not. But this officer was working. He had his police cruiser. He was in uniform. And to Keith's point, he was in front of children.
Yeah.
There's nothing about what he was busy doing that looked to me like protecting and serving. I have not seen the video of the car rocking, but the little bit I saw of him hugged up on the young lady, even, again, to my point, because he was in uniform, I don't, that even is overstepping bounds. You know, I taught for a number of years, and I would look at my colleagues who even some worked with their spouses, but you wouldn't know that if they were walking in the hallway.
That's a really interesting point, yeah.
And so I think that this officer who has taken vows to protect and serve was serving up a little too much on Labor Day.
That's one way to put it. And here's the other thing.
To elaborate my point, I guess what I was saying was that if a person has morals and ethics, you know, outside the uniform, they're going to have moral and ethics in the uniform. Mm-hmm. If they're racist outside the uniform, they're going to be racist in the uniform. That's my point, is that it doesn't matter to a lot of people who put on this uniform.
Yeah.
They are who they are.
Yeah, and knowing everything that is recorded, but you know, aside from this particular case, I think this also raises questions because now he's suspended again. He was suspended in May for domestic violence concerns by the department way back in 2016. Of course, we know that he had been accused, indeed indicted for child abuse. Those charges were dropped. But Keith, I got to ask you, is it overstepping to ask why this officer is still on the force? And what, I guess it's going to be, we've got to figure out what are going to be the next steps per this investigation.
Yeah, I've done stories on police officers who have killed individuals multiple times, unarmed individuals multiple times, and they're still in the force.
Yeah.
So police unions are very strong. The case that you mentioned, the charges were dismissed, so he doesn't have a record. And so it would be very surprising if this would even be enough to have him removed off the force.
Yeah.
Because, again, I've seen police officers who've cost taxpayers hundreds and thousands and millions of dollars in wrongful suits and are still in the force.
Let me go to the phone lines here, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. Lisa, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi, I'm Harold and Piano. I've been disgusted with this all day. It's unacceptable. It really puts, especially a woman of color, this should not be taken lightly by these officials. Brave Boy quoted her comments. I'm going to be contacting their offices and all that and got things written up. But it shouldn't be taken lightly.
Whoops.
It puts us in danger. Yeah. I've heard stories in the past where, women have been violated by police officers, you know, like at nighttime, pulling them over and actually sexually violating them. So this is not acceptable, and I'm going to raise my voice as a woman of color.
Lisa, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Byron, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Byron. What's on your mind?
Yes, I've been a law enforcement officer for 34 years.
Okay.
And he will lose his job. That's a government vehicle, county vehicle. And the lady can turn around and say, he said we're going to go back in the back seat and just talk. I didn't know he was going to do this. And she can call rape order. He will lose his job before Monday.
You think so?
I know so. And the person that did the video, he is not no way in harm way, because there's no county officers going to back him up on this dumb mess.
Okay.
And they're not going to lose their retirement, their credentials over him.
We will continue to watch it, Byron. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. You can comment on any of the topics even as we move on to our next one. So don't be afraid to give us a call and take us back. I do want to talk about, again, D.C. deadly violence, handgun violence. Five people shot yesterday in Southwest D.C. Yes, their arrests were made. There is this new pilot program to target juvenile violence. The curfew, it started on the 1st of September. The mayor and her administration, Misha, throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at this violence issue in D.C., and it continues, period. It continues. What is next? Is the mayor at her wit's end? I mean, you're not speaking for the mayor, but certainly I would be.
Certainly, if I were the mayor, I would be ready to pull out whatever cute hairstyle she's rocking these days. I know that it has to be incredibly taxing for any leader to see their city suffer. But this violence in particular is affecting our young residents. And so everything that's being done to combat this violence, it's happening and not working, to your point. And so all we can do is look at this curfew. It just it started, I think it was implemented as of Friday, September 1st, and four people were shot. And then we had this mass shooting just
yesterday.
Just yesterday.
And that involving not nearly a juvenile. We'll go on.
Yeah, and understand, Keith, I mean, I'm not saying this is just a juvenile problem. This is that is just one of the elements
right.
that the mayor has tried to employ to address the violence in the city. So, yes, I agree with you. But okay, so Keith, what is next?
Right.
I mean, if I knew that, I would be working at the Washington Post, right? it is interesting about this whole juvenile. You know, I just covered the case involving that 16-year-old girl who was fatally stabbed 2 weekends ago by another 16-year-old girl at 2 o'clock in the morning.
At the McDonald's.
At McDonald's.
Over sauce McDonald's, packets. Right. Yeah.
Right. Over sweetened sauce. Right. Argument that escalated. Both these girls were outside their home at 2 o'clock in the morning. And what's surprising to me is during the court case and hearing that the parents, you know, if the girl was released back home, the girl who was charged in murder, she was released back home, the parents would make sure that she wasn't out, past curfew, and all that nature. I've heard people say this, and I wonder if this is true. I wonder if at some point parents should be held accountable in the court system or financially if their kid is either charged with a violent crime or picks up a second case. The kids, from what I'm seeing, they can just brush it off. A lot of these kids, they say, okay, well, it's just a notch on my belt. It's bragging rights. And I'm wondering if holding the kids is enough. And maybe we should be also thinking about holding the parents accountable, because that has not been done.
Mm-hmm. What about the National Guard? There's been some discussion about that, Misha, over
in Ward 8.
In Ward 8 during National Night Out. An activist that I interviewed brought it up. It's been, brought up again and again. Is that far-fetched?
I think that the pushback, at least, that you're getting at that we're getting at this point is that it's such a local issue. And so a lot of the activists that I talk to, particularly those who have sociology backgrounds, fight against the fact that you're bringing in the National Guard for a very localized issue. That said, that's what they're here to do. That is why we have them.
But we don't have statehood, so the mayor has no control over the D.C. National Guard. That's another show.
A whole nother show.
It's a whole nother show.
And we could preach about it for sure. But I think at this point, I still am, to Keith's point, leaning on the community to solve this problem. Leaning on, where are the parents? I was wondering, Keith, and maybe you have an answer to this per the coverage that you're doing, but what if parents don't pick up their child?
That's a really good question.
You know, what happens then?
Right, and we have and we've seen stories where some of these children have been left in these rooms for hours because they can't even find the parents. The custodians can't even find the parents, and that's why I'm saying it seems like it should go back to holding these parents accountable. I'm wondering, I would be surprised if the National Guard called in, because what message does that send to Capitol Hill, especially now?
Right.
Capitol Hill has been all in Washington's political affairs, and to bring in the National Guard, I just think it's going to just really tell Capitol Hill and the whole Republican Party, see, we told you that we need to take control of Washington, D.C. I just think that the mayor and other officials will try to find other ways just to avoid that happening.
Yeah. My friend Sharon just sent me a text. What is missing is parental accountability. You're right, according to her, Keith. What about parents? Absolutely a community issue. Where is the village? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. James, calling from Maryland. What's on your mind? I know you want to talk about the police officer quickly. Go right ahead. James, are you there? Give us a call back if you can. Let me go to Lewis, calling from Prince George's. Lewis, what's on your mind?
Sir, how you doing, Harold and guests?
I'm doing just fine. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Lewis Meadows calling from Pretty Gary County. Listen, that cop should be fired. He should be stripped from being a police officer. At best, maybe a security guard just to secure his livelihood. But if that was my child, I would probably lose my freedom. It's important to let people know the most important thing we're doing right now, as they did in Alabama, is filming. And to reduce this crime epidemic, y'all should pay Minister Farrakhan. Ask Jan Reno how much crime went down. Well, you can't ask her, but find out how much crime went down after the million marches, the million men, the million women, the million children, the promise keepers. All those marches produced really good results.
Yeah,
and made people very much more accountable to their community and family.
Okay,
and we don't have anything like that. We got people saying "Make America Great Again" and grabbing by this and all that old nonsense. And now look at it. We're in court.
Lewis, thank you so much. I appreciate your point. I need to take a break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget, you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141 and 96.3 HD2, as well as WHUT-TV. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We'll be back in a few seconds.